From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Liam Elder Connors.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Wednesday, January 18th. Here are today's headlines.
State lawmakers are digesting a new report that will set the stage for a debate over increased funding for childcare. The report says it'll cost Vermont as much as $279 million in new public funding annually to provide affordable childcare to every family that needs it. Waterbury Representative Teresa Woods says there are economic benefits to improving access to high-quality childcare.
The more that we do to support families in Vermont, particularly young families in this capacity, then the better off Vermont's economy will be.
The report, which was conducted by the RAND Corporation, found that Vermont's labor force would expand by as many as 2,800 workers if all parents had access to affordable child care. And it said annual gross state product could jump by nearly $300 million.
The state has released results from the latest round of standardized testing, and students didn't do very well. Each spring, elementary and middle school students in Vermont sit in front of computers to take exams in math, reading, writing, and science. And in the latest round of testing, fewer than half of students met state standards in every grade level and subject area. For example, under 30% of 8th and 9th grade students tested as proficient in math. Amanda Gorham with the state's Agency of Education says this is not totally uncharted territory.
So we could look at these results alone and say, wow, this looks really alarming. I do think it's really important for us to stay grounded, though, in what performance has looked like in the past for Vermont.
Before the pandemic, around 40% of 8th and 9th grade students scored as proficient on those same math tests.
Green Mountain Transit's board voted yesterday to reinstate bus fares on its Chittenden County buses beginning July 1st. Riders have been able to take the bus without paying a fee for the past 2.5 years. That's due in part to an influx of pandemic-era funding assistance. John Moore is Green Mountain Transit's assistant general manager. Speaking on Vermont Edition, he said ridership could take a hit.
When people have to pay, they're going to ride less. And so that projection is about 340,000 less boardings if we go back to charging a fare on July 1st.
The transit board's appealing to state legislators for about $2 million in state funding in order to keep the buses fare free. Green Mountain Transit typically generates about 15 to 20% of its overall budget from bus fares.
And the Bennington Battle Monument is set to be renovated over the next few years. The 306-foot-tall limestone obelisk was completed in 1891 and commemorates a pivotal Revolutionary War battle that took place just over the New York state border in 1777. 7 Days reports the state is planning to fix the tower's elevator, stairs, and lighting. That's to prepare for an anticipated increase in tourists in 2026 when the U.S. turns 250 years old. The work is expected to begin next year and could cost up to $12 million.
Coming up, a visit with a dairy farmer a year after a barn fire. That story after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
In the 60s, there were thousands of dairy farms in Vermont. Now, there are closer to 500. Many of the farms that remain are in precarious positions. When disaster strikes, it can be hard to come back from. Last February, I heard a barn had burned in Stowe. And that's not all.
There was 130 Jersey cows in there, dry or milking, and they're all gone.
This is Paul Percy. They were his cows, and it was his barn. I talked to him on the phone after the fire.
There actually was a few in there that hadn't calved yet that we brought up from one of the other barns. I think there was about a dozen that, you know, are already to calve in the next 2 weeks. But that isn't going to happen.
We talked for about 15 minutes. Then I thanked him for his time and we hung up. That was almost a year ago, long enough for the leaves to come out on the trees, fall, and be covered by snow again. I wondered about Paul Percy from time to time. Had his insurance come through? Did he get more cows? Did he rebuild the barn? So, a few weeks ago, I went to Stowe to pay him a visit.
Hi, Mr. Percy. I'm Anna.
How are you doing?
All right.
Paul Percy is wearing jeans and a blue polo with the Agrimark logo. His eyes are bright behind a pair of wire-rimmed glasses. He's in his 80s and has lived in this old farmhouse his entire life. We sit down in the living room, under a window that looks out on where the barn used to be.
Right now, you'd hardly know there's a barn down there. We had that all done about 3 weeks after the fire.
Percy tells me he's got other property in town, including a barn where he keeps about 350 cows. They've concentrated on that, but still, they've lost money.
There's no question about it. Income is down. Expenses are down some, too, because I got one less employee, and, you know, we're not spending money taking care of them, the light bill and all that. It's down. But again, I miss it. But I don't talk about this because it bothers me a little bit. But they started a GoFundMe. I don't know whether you ever heard about this or not. But they started one for us. And I didn't know anybody started it. I didn't even know what was happening. I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't believe it. But people donated a lot of money to make it all work.
How did that feel?
Well, in a way, it bothered me because it's like kind of a charity thing, sort of, or something. Somebody needs help, and you know, to farm and build what we need to, we probably needed the help. But I had insurance on that barn. Of course, never have enough, but I had insurance. Had insurance on the cattle. We can build barns and fix things back up. It's really an interesting town to live in. I had no idea that the people in this town wanted farmers here as much as I think they do today.
Are you saying because of how the character of Stowe has changed over the years and the way it is today, you were surprised that people came together to help you?
Right. You know, there used to be a lot of farms here, and they're all gone. There's only me and two others left in Stowe, and there used to be like 125. But they've been disappearing over the years, and they really disappeared lately. But people, they don't want us to leave. They want farming to be here.
Why?
Because of the character that it makes the town. You know, it weren't the barn that's the beauty. It's the cattle out in the fields. It's the meadows. I'm convinced that most of the people appreciate Stowe and make Stowe what it is because a lot of this open land and open meadows and the way the whole thing is designed and the zoning has been set up to keep that way, to keep it open.
Has having this happen changed how you think about the future of your farm and maybe Vermont farms in general?
Oh, I think farming in the state of Vermont is going to thrive because there's a lot of good land. It grows grass. You don't have to irrigate. And there's a lot of good modern farms in the state of Vermont. There's some big farms in the state of Vermont. Now, I don't think you're going to see very many 15, 20-cow farms or 40-cow farms. I think it's got to be a special situation. Although there's a 40-cow farm here in Stowe, but the boys have been there for a long time, and when they retire or stop farming, I don't think that farm will continue.
What do you want the future of your farm to be?
I've got a boy, Ryan, that is into farming. But he's got to decide what he's going to do with it. He's 47 years old, and he's got two girls, and who knows whether they'll want to be farmers or not, or whether they'll find somebody that wants to be a farmer. You know, only the future will tell that.
When you sit in your kitchen or in this room here, and you look out the window to where the barn used to be, what do you think about?
Well, I thought about all the years it's been there and all the times I've gone down there and all, you know, all the problems and late meals. But there's a beautiful view. Now, the barn's gone.
It really is. This fall, it was gorgeous with all the colors of the leaves, you know, and the green background down there. It's sad. It's sad.
Percy says he hopes to build a new barn not far from where the old one was.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld, Lexi Krupp, and Michaela Lafrac.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Liam Elder Connors. Talk to you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.